Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, the last day of the 12th week of the Christian Worldview broadcast on the Tyranny Response Network. Glad you joined us today. Hope we can make your day a little better and help you think a little more deeply today as we consider some of the key issues of the day. Sad and tragic that Terri Schiavo has died and that her husband seems to be so culpable in all of this. Maybe interesting to talk a little bit more about that. Her grief and suffering, no doubt, being starved to death. Maybe some other issues that are going to come out of that, including eugenics and euthanasia. Some of these things need to be talked about on Christian Worldview. If you have a question or comment for that, we'd welcome your phone calls or your questions and comments by email. The phone number is 864-201-6955, and you can send emails to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Had a couple of interesting stories come up yesterday that our great research staff has been following for us. The first one, more on the light side, says from San Diego, this mugger was left holding a bag he really didn't want. Police said they were searching for a gunman who ran up to a woman while she was walking her dog Monday night and grabbed the bag she was holding. It contained poop. The gunman discovered what was in it. He threw down it down in disgust, pointed his gun at the 32-year-old woman, and demanded money, San Diego Police Detective Gary Hansen said. He then aimed his .22-caliber semi-automatic at the dog named Misty and pulled the trigger twice, but the gun didn't fire. Hansen said the robber, who was believed to be in his 20s, ran into a waiting small silver car and fled, police said. Another story of the stupid and disgruntled and disappointed criminals of the California coast, Southern California area. Washington targets legal system in Schiavo case. Washington, the House Majority Leader Tom DeLay on Thursday blamed Terri Schiavo's death on what he contended was a failed legal system, and he raised the possibility of trying to impeach some of the federal judges in the case. The time will come for the men responsible for this to answer for their behavior, said DeLay, a Republican from Texas. President Bush expressed sympathy to Schiavo's parents. I urge all who honor Terri Schiavo to continue to work to build a culture of life where all Americans are welcomed and valued and protected, especially those who live at the mercy of others. Oh, yeah, like you did a lot to stop it, George W. Bush. Give me a break. What a hypocrite. Anyway, but Kennedy and DeLay should watch his words, especially in light of the recent murder of Georgia judge and the killing of a federal judge's husband and mother in Chicago. Kennedy noted that judges of the Schiavo case and their families have received threats. Skipping down in the article, Congress for many years has shirked its responsibility to hold the judiciary accountable. No longer, DeLay said. The House has impeached 11 federal judges, including former Supreme Court Justice Samuel Chase, but the Senate has only convicted and removed 7. Well, time to do some more. The problem is that we need also impeach and remove people from the Senate and the House as well, because we have really extortionists and traitors occupying both houses of Congress right now. It's not just the fault of the president or the judiciary at this time. Oh, my. What a scene. What a tragedy that all that mess was. Of course, we've been living in tragic times ever since at least Roe versus Wade, when thousands of people began to be killed every day. Undeveloped people who are unable to care for themselves, who relied on their mother, slaughtered in the womb, 4,000 a day, succumbing to the knife or the saline injection through abortion. We want to remind you about the 2005 Southern History Conference, April 4th through 7th in Greenville, South Carolina. Admission is free to this conference, and we'd encourage all of you to make a trip out to the meeting place at 211 White Oak Road. It's a Spanish-speaking church. You'll see signs there, so you'll know exactly where to go. It's off of North Pleasantburg Drive and not too far from Wade Hampton Boulevard, just behind basically the Woodlawn Memorial Park if you're here in Greenville, South Carolina. The speaking lineup is as follows. It starts at 7 o'clock each evening beginning Monday, April 4th. And it'll be starting up with Pastor Carl Robbins, who is from Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church. He'll be talking on R.L. Dabney of Social Security. He'll be followed by Pastor John Weaver, talking about the story of the Washington, D.C.'s Klan. Then Tuesday night, starting at 7 o'clock, Dr. Morton Smith from Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary will talk about the influence of Benjamin Morgan Palmer on the Confederate cause, followed by John Weaver again with his speech on Who Are the Rebels. 7 o'clock the next night, Dr. Joseph Piper from the same seminary will talk about the character of Stonewall Jackson, and he'll be followed by Pastor John Weaver talking about the Palmyra Massacre. And then finally, on the fourth night, Thursday, April 7th, Dr. Nick Wilborn from the same seminary will talk about the life and ministry of John L. Girardo, and Pastor John Weaver will follow up with the Christian character of Robert E. Lee. Hope you can join us there at 211 White Oak Road in Greenville. If you have any more questions about it, you can go to the homepage of policyofliberty.net and email the production staff, and they can give you some more information on this great event. The Tyranny Response Network will also be publishing, or broadcasting, I should say, recordings from taken from these meetings on the Tyranny Response Network during the day. So in case you happen to miss one, you can be tuned in and listen during the day. That you should find these things occurring once again. We'd like to also remind you of a couple of other items. Where is my couple of other items? Yes. South Point Baptist Church is going to present, this is in Pelzer, South Carolina, the Institute on the Constitution. They say you are cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Classes will begin on April 11th and continue every Monday evening for 12 weeks. Each class will feature an informative 30-minute video lecture by constitutional attorney and professor Dr. John Eidsmo of Faulkner University, who is, by the way, as far as I know, still is a divine writer, one of those who hold a position, public policy position, of being a revitalized and reshaped divine right of kings doctrine. Don't miss this opportunity and learn how America can recover its lost freedoms and the legacy of liberty our founding fathers fought to preserve. It's interesting that they have a divine writer doing that. He's the one who wrote God and Caesar. This man would be a modern-day Tory, as far as I can tell, little I can remember from reading his long book and some other things that he's done. So it's interesting that South Point Baptist has called up this particular person, John Eidsmo, Dr. Eidsmo, to lead this discussion, but nevertheless should be very interesting, entertaining to go and listen to it. Make sure before you go, you take the quiz that's located at the bottom of policyofliberty.net on the four evangelical views of public policy, so that you can be better equipped to say, aha, I see where he's coming from here in his divine right view of Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, and other things. So if you're interested in learning about the Institute or going to the Institute on the Constitution and sitting under Dr. John Eidsmo for a while, I encourage you to do that, always tempering it by listening to the Tyranny Response Networks, where you're going to hear a different view than I expect you'll be hearing from him. But by all means, if you wish to attend the meeting, South Point Baptist Church in Pelzer, South Carolina, you want to call Pastor Tony Romo for more information at 269-1443. That's 269-1443, either for information or to register. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben.
Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And here in Greenville this morning, we have 56 degrees, only going to get up to 59 today. A real dreary day once again. A little bit foggy outside right now, but the rain's going to start again. And we're expecting in the foothills to get as much as 3 inches of rain today, with thunderstorms once again as we did yesterday. More severe even than yesterday. And look locally here for some flooding problems potentially as the afternoon progresses and the rivers swell. So we're looking for another rainy day, pretty cool all day, in the high 50s most of the day. So be prepared as you're, if you're getting ready for work and you're going out. You probably need your a sweater at least today and maybe an umbrella. At any rate, I also wanted to mention that the Tyranny Response Network is reaching into jails. And here in South Carolina, we are right in Greenville here, we have a person who wrote named Ray Davis. If you know the case of Ray Davis, I'd like to hear about it. Ray Davis wrote a long letter to the Tyranny Response Unit. That's me, Dr. John Coben. And he spelled my name wrong. He spelled it with a K. Coben is spelled with a C. C-O-B, like boy, I-N. C-O-B-I-N. But at any rate, beside that small foible, which, he, of course, how could he possibly know being incarcerated, he wrote a very gracious letter talking about some very traumatic things that have been happening in his life, how much he appreciated everything that was being said at the, on the Tyranny Response Network, especially on Christian Worldview, agreed with the Tyranny Response Unit entirely. He said he'd been incarcerated falsely for murder. I don't know whether or not that's true, but he has quite a story to tell. I suppose that's true of most inmates, but since we got such a long letter, thought I might at least bring it up. If somebody knows about the case of Ray Davis, we'd love to hear about it here on the Tyranny Response Network. Please give us a call or please give us or send us an email to questions@policyofliberty.net so we can know a little bit further. Apparently, he's claiming that he was falsely accused of this charge, put in prison. His wife is sort of absconded with some money. There are people now occupying his former home and using it for a meth lab, and the police won't go in and do anything about it. And he's got a 6-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter, I believe it is, and they're being exposed to the worst kinds of treatments in their life, apparently. There's just a lot of bad things going on. Well, Ray, if that all that is indeed true, well, our hearts do truly go out to you if that's indeed the case. If it's not, we might think otherwise, but you sure write well. It sure sounds like you're a Christian, and we are very concerned about that, what's happening there. But wanting to hear the other side of the story and thinking that the cops might have put you in prison for some other reason than you're offering here in your letter, I would like to hear what other people might have to say about your case. Just wanted to acknowledge that we received that letter from Ray. So if you know about the Ray Davis case and the long letter that you can comment on the long letter that was sent to the Tyranny Response Unit, we would appreciate knowing about it. Well, we have a number of other items in economic theory that are up in the news today. You know, and this show is about the Christian worldview, but I'm telling you, folks, economics is an essential aspect of the Christian worldview because God created the world and human beings to behave in a certain manner in society, which is congruent completely with economic theory and the truths and axioms we have in economics. And it's because people are ignorant of economic theory and don't know anything about how the way economies work or the way the economic system should function under certain circumstances with the government involvement or not being involved. Because of that ignorance, we end up having bad public policies. And Christians end up supporting foolish public policies that they really ought not to be doing. So whenever we have an opportunity to talk about economics as it relates to the Christian worldview, especially in a particular way, we'd like to read them here on the show. And there's just a couple things the research staff have come up with this morning. For instance, Democrats are urge Bush on trade grievances. This came out in the paper yesterday. Washington House Democrats, citing the rising U.S. trade deficit, urged President Bush on Thursday to take action against China, Japan, and the European Union and six other countries accused of unfair trade practices. The Democrats urged the administration to move from this listing transgressions to enforcing U.S. rights. Once again, the report identifies numerous barriers that have existed for years and have yet to be effectively addressed by the administration, they wrote. China for currency manipulation and intellectual property rights violations, for one thing. And they also mentioned a few, again, for Japanese currency manipulation, for the European Airbus subsidies. The other countries cited for copyright and trademark violations and non-tariff barriers were Brazil, India, South Korea, Pakistan, Russia, and Thailand. China last year accounted for $162 billion of this country's record trade deficit of $617 billion. Some things are completely blown out of proportion, folks, and this trade deficit business is one of them. Yes, you heard that here from the Tyranny Response Unit on the Tyranny Response Network Christian Worldview. I'm telling you, folks, the trade deficit is just not that big of a deal. What the trade deficit effectively means, for those of you who don't know, is that we are importing more than we are exporting. Now, why is that a problem? Let's suppose that we can buy things of the same quality or better in foreign countries as consumers, and we choose to buy more of them from foreign countries rather than buy them here at home. Why is that a problem? Well, from the consumer's point of view, we're doing so because we're getting better quality stuff at cheaper prices, and the whole goal of economizing behavior, of good stewardship, if you want to put it that way from a Christian perspective, is to buy in the cheapest market for the best quality in the cheapest market. And get the best price you can, the most bang for your buck. So in effect, for consumers, it's not really a problem. Why would we want to use the state, that is public policy, to force consumers to not get a good deal, to not get the best quality at the lowest price, but instead force them to buy inferior quality at a higher price? Oh, well, Dr. Coben, you don't understand. Those people are using cheaper labor over there, and they're subsidizing their factories and their auto... Who cares? If those countries want to give us a gift, then their taxpayers will complain soon enough, as Milton Friedman keenly points out in Free to Choose. We need to continue to support the American consumer by letting him, in the free market, buy where he wants to buy and get the best quality stuff he can get. Why should we end up lowering our standard of living because of some government policy and wanting to keep to help out some other some American business? Let it all go over there. Let indeed the business stuff go away from America if need be, if it can't be efficiently produced here, and let's go ahead and buy in the cheapest market. This is pure economics, folks. There are no political boundaries in economies. These are thrust upon the American system or any system by politicians and by those who would be rulers. It doesn't have anything to do with us buying things. We don't care whether we get cotton or wheat from here or elsewhere if you're a consumer. It all is wheat. It's all corn. It's all cotton. We're going to continue to talk about this trade deficit thing when we come back from a break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. We'd like to let you know that it may interest you to know that that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom. And a supporter of the show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/First Freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. We also want to give a quick plug for the Times Examiner. Our friends at the Times Examiner have a great paper full of columns from great national columnists who are from a libertarian or a true conservative position. Give Bob Dill a call at 864-268-0576 or whoever else is there manning the phones, 864-268-0576, and get it sent to your home for $25 per year, $27 a year if you're living out of state. Christian Exodus people, take note. You should be getting this newspaper. The first few pages are about Greenville and the upstate area news locally here, and the rest of it is just chock full of great columns, including mine, the Tyranny Response Unit's current column is about the Christian views on rebellion, a 7-part series that you should all be apprised of. So if you can, get a chance to get this to your doorstep for only $25 a year, we encourage you to do so. Give them a call at 864-268-0576. Anyway, we're talking about some economic stuff right now this morning, and one thing we're discussing is this issue of trade deficits. The idea of protectionism goes all the way back to the beginning of the country. The idea is essentially, look, we've got to keep jobs in America. We've got to, you know, force consumers who live in America to buy more expensive, less efficiently produced goods or unsubsidized goods, and we need to use these after we force Americans to do that, we're going to do that in order to ensure that we keep American jobs here. The idea being these people would be unemployed and starved to death if they were allowed to buy from countries elsewhere. The other thing that makes people upset is that governments in other countries loot their own taxpayers and subsidize the factories and goods that are produced in places like China, for instance, or Taiwan. And people get up in arms about this. They think it's not fair, and they call for retaliatory action. That is, the government of the United States would either loot the taxpayers or take away the rights of the taxpayers, loot the taxpayers by putting a tariff up on the goods and services that are imported from these countries, violating countries, or in some way prohibit us from buying the goods, like the Cuban cigar instance is the most famous one, perhaps, and that thereby reduce the economic well-being of Americans. this is a wrong thing to do. This is not Christian public policy. We are not to look at only national boundaries as Christians. We are to look at being a good stewards as an important feature and aspect of our lives. And what we need to do is not worry so much about trade deficits. Trade deficits essentially mean that we like to consume things. We're importing stuff. Americans are the greatest consumers in the world. People send their stuff here because it's profitable for them to sell. Americans buy goods and services. And, you know, just look at some of the car imports that are coming in today. The Kia luxury model, Monte, I think it is. I was down looking at one the other day, for chance. It's $29,000 sticker price. The compatible or comparable cars would be, supposedly, I don't know if this is actually true, I'm not any connoisseur of automobiles by any means, but the Lexus and the Acura, maybe even the BMW, these things are all $50,000 or $45,000 to $65,000. So here people are trying to enter the United States market and attract consumers by the lower price of the car. I don't see anything wrong with that. It produces, and it's still, some people may not want to drive the Kia, but nevertheless, it does allow them the opportunity to enter into the market. This is a good thing. It allows prices to go down, and people who can't otherwise afford luxury cars the opportunity to afford them. Anyway, if you have a question or comment about the trade deficit, we would be glad to hear from you. There's certainly the protectionists who will probably call in and say, we've got to protect our jobs, and so on and so forth, and I'll have to give them the same answer I just did. Look out in the economy for your own interest, because that's what serves the Lord the best. Not to be selfish. I'm not talking about being selfish. Economists do not have to make a difference between self-interested behavior and selfish behavior. Self-interested behavior means you look for ways to minimize your costs and maximize your profits or your gains on every transaction all the time. This is wise stewardship. And something I think we need to support. In other economic news, Washington Times business section is reporting that apartments are getting snapped up by renters in the Washington area as fast as new homes are being sold while the population swells from job seekers. Demand for apartments is strong despite the fact that rents are well above national averages. With the escalating cost of home ownership, renting is the only alternative for some residents. By the way, Fairfax and Montgomery counties around the Washington area are two of the wealthiest counties, two of the five wealthiest counties in the United States. With prices going up the way they have, 15% or 20%, it really does price a lot of people out of the market. More than half the apartments have one bedroom, about 20% are studios, and the rest are larger. Skipping down in the Washington area, renters paid about 59% as much as they would for a home mortgage payments last year, according to Torto Wheaton Research, a real estate market research firm. Despite the many bargains in the rental market, real estate agents expect the market for home sales to stay strong as well. A lot of demand. It's a simple supply and demand equation, folks. When you have a supply that's relatively rigid and a huge surge in demand in an area, people needing to move into a place and especially buying homes, the prices are going to rise. This is what happens when we just look at simple supply and demand theory. On the other hand, when housing prices rise, it also creates a shortage in rental property initially, because there's just, people are going to say, well, I'd rather have this house as a single family residence and sell it, because it's going to have so much more value than renting it out. And the only way that can possibly be changed is if they raise the rents and make it once again attractive to keep it on the rental market. Or if they start building more, and both of those things will occur at some point in the economic cycle, and eventually over time things level out in the free market. Free market doesn't instantaneously respond to changes in demand. It has some shock effects, so to speak, for a little while, and then over time it will iron these things out, and there will be everybody will getting back to a more I guess you'd call it just sustainable, politically correct word, a sustainable level of rental cost, and also of housing costs and so forth relative to earnings. Well, this is a few things about economics this morning. I think it's important for Christians to think about economics. If you have any questions or comments, hope to hear from you this morning on the show. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken, of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Greenville's looking to have a pretty gloomy, dreary day again. A lot of rain, as much as 3 inches falling in the foothills above Greenville by this afternoon and this evening. And we have 56 degrees currently in Greenville. It's only going to get up to 59 degrees today, so be dressed accordingly and have that umbrella handy, it sounds like, as you make your way out the door for work today. Appreciate you listening and tuning in this morning on the Tyranny Response Network. We've been talking about some economic stuff, economics in the news, because it's important for Christians to think. Yes, unfortunately, Christians are known now as the scoundrels out there that don't think, that follow along like rats following the Pied Piper. Nat Pied Piper at the moment is named George W. Bush, although there have been other Pied Pipers that Christians follow after, fondly thinking that they're being blessed and their country is being blessed by God by having such a man in power, when in fact just the opposite is occurring. Witness Terry Schiavo nonetheless, Terry Schiavo, as well as the war in Iraq, the war on drugs, and boy, there could be so many things that are mentioned that George W. Bush is not handling correctly as a Christian might want him to do, want him to be handling things. We have a couple of other instances of issues relating to the Christian worldview going on in government today. Just wanted to make you aware of them. The Senate okays registry for partners. Tom Stuckey, the Associated Press reports, the Senate yesterday approved legislation. This is from Annapolis. Supported by homosexual rights activists that would create a registry giving unmarried couples the right to make medical decisions for each other. Registration, and this is, I believe, the Maryland Senate. My research staff didn't indicate at the top that, but I think it's Maryland Senate that's saying this. Registration would guarantee partners the right to make medical decisions for each other, visit their partner's hospital room, share rooms in nursing homes, share ambulance rides, and make decisions about whether to bury or cremate after death. Senator Paul G. Pinsky, Prince George's Democrat, said the bill is not about same-sex marriage, but is needed to help deal with a homophobic problem. It's a homophobic problem. I think these gay people have these sodomites, I should say, have invented these kinds of words to create a false problem, a problem that's really not there, so they can get some more credibility for their movement. What the bill does is give fair rights in a reasoned way, he said, saying a vote in favor of it is a vote for civil rights and decency. Senator Joan Carter Conway, Baltimore Democrat and the bill's sponsor, said her bill applies to heterosexual and homosexual couples, including elderly people whose spouses have died and who can't afford to get married anyway because they would lose their Social Security and pension benefits. It applies to heterosexual couples, too? You mean until this bill went through in Maryland, a husband or wife couldn't do all these things for their spouse? I don't think so. I think that's a ruse. Anyway, just keeping you apprised, as we always do here on the Tyranny and Response Network, especially Christian Worldview, of the great issues of the day that affect you. Speaking of the culture of life, or should we say the culture of death, Massachusetts Senate now has okayed stem cell bill following California. Boston, despite a veto threat from the governor, the state Senate overwhelmingly approved a bill Wednesday to give scientists more freedom to conduct embryonic stem cell research in Massachusetts. The 35-2 vote came after less than 2 hours of debate. The same day, Governor George Romney launched a statewide radio campaign to urge the bill's defeat. House Democratic leaders said they believe that they have the votes this time to approve the bill, but are still unsure if they have the two-thirds majority needed to override the certain veto. Romney and some proponents of the embryonic stem cell research said they support research using adult stem cells or leftover frozen embryos from fertility clinics. Fertility clinics? But oppose the creation of new embryos. Embryonic stem cells are derived from human embryos that are typically no more than a few days old. With approval of the Senate, all eyes were on the House and the departure of the former House Speaker Thomas Finneran, an opponent of stem cell research, had supporters optimistic about getting the measure through the chamber. Sad, grievous news. The culture of death has moved on again in Massachusetts. You know, how many of us, especially who listen to Christian Worldview, if we all had a show of hands right now, would be in favor of just getting a big saw, sawing off the state of Massachusetts and just floating it on out into the Atlantic, let it go towards purgatory, hell, Europe, wherever it might want to go, away from America? These people are not Americans anymore. Whatever they are, they support something that is antithetical not only to Christian principles, but antithetical to the vision of the founding fathers. This is a state that is completely over the top in terms of runaway welfare state spending, anti-gun laws, hatred of the truth when it comes to things like the Confederacy, what happened during the war between the states, and also leading the charge in the pro-death movement. I'd say get rid of them. Secede. Let's have some forced secession where we just shove them off into the Atlantic. How's that? Other news today. France expects the UN to vote on resolution. The United Nations, France said it expects the UN Security Council to vote Thursday on a resolution that would authorize the prosecution of Sudanese war crime suspects by the International Criminal Court. And the U.S. official said Washington had dropped its objections to using the court in this conflict. Always like to see the power of the United States to these foreign courts and so forth. That's a real problem. But France and the United States were struggling over the language in the resolution, with Washington demanding ironclad guarantees that Americans working in Sudan would not be handed over to the court, and still holding out the possibility of a veto if it doesn't get them. U.S. officials had given a plethora of ideas to the French that would guarantee that Americans wouldn't be vulnerable to prosecution by the ICC and are awaiting their reply, a U.S. official said, using the initials of the court. Well, if Americans are guilty, then why in the world shouldn't they be tried there? That's what I'm wondering. But if they're not, I'm not quite clear about this whole thing. Skipping down to the end here of this article, it says a veto could be politically damaging because it could give the appearance that the United States opposed the punishment of those responsible for the atrocities at Darfur, where a number of dead from the conflict between government-backed militias and rebels is now estimated at 180,000. The United States itself has declared genocide has occurred in Darfur and demanded swift action. Well, that it is a terrible thing that's going on over in the Sudan. We haven't had enough news about this. We've been focusing on other places where there really hasn't been necessarily a problem like this, such as Iran, North Korea. There are potential problems with those places, but most of them are fabrications of the U.S. government. George W. Bush simply wanting to create a new place that he can stage his next power bid, create a lot of historical fame for himself or whatever else it might be. But here in the Sudan, we have hundreds of thousands of people have been killed and are being threatened even today. Sad. This is something we should pray about as Christians and also should oppose public policy that would allow this to continue. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
It may interest you to know that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom. As a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315. Also give Bob Dill a call at the Times Examiner and get this sent to your doorstep every week on Wednesday normally. In South Carolina, at least, $25 for a yearly subscription. That's $25, $27 if you're living out of state. You can reach them at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Or pick up a copy at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville, South Carolina. Well, we've been talking about economics here, and there's no reason to stop that discussion for the moment because we have another story our staff pulled up about jury considering New Orleans prosecutor's suit over racial quotas in New Orleans. The jury in a discrimination lawsuit against the city's first black district attorney ended a second day of deliberations Tuesday without a verdict on whether the prosecutor had legally fired white employees solely so he could replace them with blacks. Jurors sought to know whether the law bars mass firing of whites to achieve racial diversity. 8 days into his term, Jordan fired 53, fired 53 of 77 white workers who were not lawyers, investigators, clerks, child support enforcement workers, and replaced them with blacks. Months later, 44 of the whites sued him, and the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission later made a preliminary finding that Jordan had been racially biased. The court, Jordan has insisted that he's paid no attention to the race in support of his staff. He has portrayed himself as more focused on the legal staff, keeping, he pointed out, 56 white assistant district attorneys. The fired employees are seeking back pay, which their lawyer estimated at $1.6 million, and $100,000 in damages against Jordan. The whites' lawyers have concentrated on showing that many of those who were fired have far more experience and scored higher on job interviews than blacks who were either subsequently hired or kept on. Well, interesting how we have that turn of events. And from an economic point of view, all these racial quotas and so forth are absolutely stupid. They don't make any sense whatsoever. In the free market, if we allow people to choose the laborers that work the best for them, regardless of what color their skin is, you're going to have the optimal results. In universities, it's so tragic right now. These affirmative action quotas are forcing people to have the least quality teachers be put in positions where they ought not to be. For instance, in philosophy departments, I know of a man in New York State who was trying to get a job elsewhere and had a PhD, which is the entrance, the union card you need to get in, basically, as well as 7 or 8 published articles in journals. Very well qualified, but because he was male, he was denied the job, and the job was given instead to a woman who had not even finished her PhD and never published anything. What a tragedy, because now the students are, theoretically, anyway, getting a less qualified person. And so this is a real problem. These racial quota things do not work. What we need to find instead is a way to balance in the market people making their own choices without restrictions imposed on them by the state. This is the best way to handle racial problems. And what we end up having is, down the line, we end up having people who refuse to hire whites or refuse to hire blacks losing out, because the most productive workers can then go elsewhere and a competitor will pick them up and actually win the day in the economic market. Well, we appreciate a caller on the line now. We want to go right to the phones on Christian Worldview and welcome you to the show. Who am I speaking with? Oh, hello, Nick. Welcome to Christian Worldview.
Thanks. I was not receiving your message this morning out in Simpsonville here, and so I thought I'd call in and see what you were generally talking about.
Okay. Well, what we're talking about this morning is a number of things. We've hit Terry Schiavo. We talked a lot about a lot of economic issues, including just talking about racial quotas. We've been talking about the trade deficit and homosexual rights. Once again, there are a number of issues where government is state governments are taking steps towards a culture of death. Massachusetts has a bill for stem cell research. Maryland is allowing gay unions to some extent, where they're not really gay unions, but gay couples to make decisions as married people would. In times of after one dies or when we're in a hospital, in terms of the hospital visitation, things like that. So those have been some of the topics for the day.
I wanted to point out something, talking about this Terry Schiavo case.
Yes.
I think there's this is the Tyranny Response Network that you're running over there, and I think there's a real interesting tyranny that's going on having to do with the things of the spiritual realm, which is this. We keep on hearing Terry is in a better place, and we get all this romanticized stuff about, she was Catholic, her parents were Catholic, they were devout people, this blah, blah, blah. Well, according to the Bible, the Pope right now, for instance, is uh, in a state of near death also. And what I see going on is that because everybody's romanticizing about Terry Schiavo being in a better place, they're basically saying that her reliance on the Catholic Church and being devout Catholics is going to put her in heaven. And I think this is a thing that, you know, if our hope is in Jesus, it surely is not in the Pope. And I think that somebody needs to speak out on this kind of thing, because, you know, if Catholics are putting their trust, or any religious people, let's say, are putting their trust in something other than Jesus Christ, well, they can romanticize their way all the way into hell. And I think this is a tyranny in itself, you know, promoted by who? The god of this world, you know, the devil. And it seems to me like somebody needs to speak out on this kind of thing, like I say.
Well, we can do that for just a second here. I mean, the tyranny response network, the idea of tyranny as we use it is more in the traditional political science understanding of states tyrannizing people. But you're certainly right that Roman Catholics, those who believe they're saved by works or doing things that according to the Catholic doctrine, are not Christians. I mean, this is not a Christian religion. It is an abomination, an idolatry, an aberration of the truth. And if Terry Schiavo's only hope was in a Catholic faith, then we have really no reason to have any hope for her. We're not ashamed of the gospel here in proclaiming the truth on Christian Worldview. Our main purpose, however, Nick, is not to be here as a preaching show. I'm not a preacher or a pastor.
No, I know.
And we appreciate the comment in bringing this up. You're right. People have gone overboard in saying that she's in a better place, because we have no really reason to believe that as Christians, that she's in a better place.
Yeah,
the whole thing
the
is purely
I
tragic.
Up, I guess, is because I heard that on a Christian radio station.
Well, that's
really stupid, you know?
Yeah, but Christian radio stations are like, you know, other stations today are just sold out towards neocon or the liberalism or the lack of Christian orthodoxy that we have here at Christian Worldview.
I also did want to bring up some other tyranny that I see going on around here, and this is a local thing. Well, I should say, you know, in this state, I've been helping do some land clearing, basically. And what I noticed, though, is that we have a system going on now where architects are calling the shots on, you know, the way that a piece of property needs to be cleared and developed and blah, blah, blah. And then you have all these different permit costs, and you have all these different you know, costs for hooking into the water system and the sewer system, this and that and the other. And it appears to me that part of this tyranny is that these people have become legalized extortionists.
Yes, and Nick, if you can hang on a quick second, we're going to go to a quick break, but you're absolutely right that these architects are the modern-day little socialists, little pirates, little totalitarians, and this is a great economic topic to discuss here on Christian Worldview. If you'll be so kind to hold on during the break, we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. and thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've been talking with Nick on the line about these local central planners, as I call them. That is, the bureaucrats that issue permits and licenses and so forth for allowing you to build on your, what's supposedly your own property, which really is just a feudal tenement that you have the privilege to possess and use so long as you comply with the rules of the feudal lord, the state government, as well as the regulations that are imposed there. But Nick also brings up a very important point, and that is about architects. You know, architects are one of those far left disciplines out there, along with English departments and education departments. You need to be aware of sociology, any kind of studies like women's studies, black studies, Native American studies. These things are typically occupied by the hard left, and a lot of people don't realize that architects fall into this plan, into this scheme, whereas by and large, it's easier to find people who are in the natural sciences or engineering and the hard science, I should say, as well as economics, who would hold to a more conservative or libertarian position. But architects have always been particularly egregious in their activities to me, and I appreciate Nick bringing it up today, because they believe that they have superior knowledge in the way that people should live. They should shop here, they should live over there, the shopping center should look this way with this kind of signage, and they want to centrally plan the way that people live and way things look in a particular area. So, Nick, appreciate you bringing that up. Did you have some other comments you wanted to make about architects and central planners?
The thing about the architects is a while back I was going to build a home, and I got a hold of an architect because they were going to require some kind of a architectural plan, supposedly, or at least I thought they were at the time, and this guy, when I got together with him, I was asking him about, you know, the foundational stuff as far as, you know, the levels of soil and the piping and sewage, you know, lines and all this kind of stuff. And he says, well, I really don't know too much about that. He says, I'm not real involved in that so much as I am the drawing up of the house and how it'll look and this and that. And it appeared to me like, well, this guy is not even an engineering. He hasn't even got the engineering skills, you know, to be telling me the technical stuff that I need to know. So all he is basically an over-glorified artist.
Well, that could well be the case. They're supposed to be trained in engineering, and it is sort of an engineering degree, but that may not be the case everywhere. And it is true that they are overbearing in many things that they do all the time. And we appreciate that call, Nick, this morning, and that's an excellent excellent observation you made about architects. We look forward to having you back again on the show here soon. Okay, thanks a lot, Nick. We'll see you later. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we're glad you have joined us this morning. Hope we're making your day a little brighter as you think a little bit more deeply about issues and hear things that you're not used to hearing on other networks, other radio programs. You will be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. Greenville's going to have 56 degrees currently and 59 degrees as the high today. Pretty gloomy day. A lot of rain in store. It's going to start raining lightly here this morning and give way to thunderstorm activities. The foothills will receive as much as 3 inches of rain. That means there'll be flooding all over tonight and on the weekend, early part of the weekend, as the rivers swell. So be prepared today if you're getting on your way to work finally, and carry an umbrella and be prepared for a wet day and a cool day, actually, here in Greenville, South Carolina. A lot of things we've been talking about today have to do with the news stories. We were off the air one day this week and ended up having a backlog of news stories, believe it or not. Several things have been going on, however, that are worthy of note. One is the nuclear weapons issue has come up again. And Washington said that there's a poll that's conducted about no nation should have nuclear weapons. A Washington report. Though the Soviet Union is gone, the nuclear fears that fueled the Cold War haven't disappeared. Most Americans think nuclear weapons are so dangerous that no country should have them, and a majority believe it's likely the terrorists or nation will use them within 5 years. The Bush administration repeatedly warns about nuclear weapons and is using diplomacy and force to try to limit the threat. Lurking in the background is a threat that worries U.S. officials the most, terrorists' desire to acquire nuclear weapons. 2/3 of Americans say no nation should have nuclear weapons, including the U.S., and most of the others say no more country should get them. The threat from nuclear terrorism is great, analysts say, because terrorists with nuclear weapons would feel little or no hesitance about using them. That's why those who monitor nuclear proliferation are so concerned about securing weapon stockpiles and dismantling weapons as quickly as possible. Well, again, from the Christian worldview point of view, having nuclear weapons might be considered important as far as reactive policy for us to defend our rights and liberties against those maligners, those who want to deny us our rights. From around the world, from predators everywhere. However, the main predator that we face is, frankly, right in our own country. The government of the United States is preying on people, and putting them in charge of nuclear arsenals is always a dangerous thing as well. So there are two sides of this issue. It's not that clear cut. But I think from a Christian worldview perspective, we don't have a problem with any kind of weapon being used to defend us. I don't think there's an issue about the weapon. It's just how and who is going to be handling these kinds of weapons. There's no question in my mind that if that terrorist groups and those who hate us, those who want to kill us, would use nuclear weapons against people in America, wouldn't surprise me in the least if they tried to do that. And so I think that the threat could well be there. I don't know if they have that technology or the capability yet, and I don't know how big the threat really is that George Bush is trying to prevent, because I just don't believe George Bush. I think the guy goes around aggrandizing himself and trying to figure out some new way to show his need to Americans, or his worth to Americans, so that people can say, hey, we need to have George W. there to protect us. After all, he is a wartime president, as he likes to call himself. Well, we also have an interesting story sent in by one of our research staff. Are conservatives naive or just plain stupid? This is by Lawrence M. Vance. Are conservatives naive or just plain stupid? He says, is President Bush a fiscal conservative? Can he be trusted to rein in congressional spending? Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution thinks so. Vance goes on and just says, look, let's criticize a little bit about some of the things that are going on here. He says this: conservatives who think for a minute that if President Bush were given a line item veto, he would suddenly turn into a fiscal conservative and rein in congressional spending are naive or just plain stupid. As I pointed out soon after Bush's inauguration in 2005 in my article, Those Bush Vetoes, the president did not veto a single bill during his first term in office. How many of you knew that, by the way? You didn't hear that on Rush Limbaugh, did you? Or you didn't hear that on some of these other local radio shows. President Bush did not veto a single bill during his first term in office. The last president who did not veto any bills was James Garfield, 1831 to 1881. He had an excuse, however, since he was assassinated during his first term in office. So my indictment of Bush still stands. Bush shares responsibility with the spendthrift Congress that have for the past 4 years squandered not millions, but billions, but trillions of dollars of the taxpayers' money. But it might be argued Bush realized that most of the spending bills he signed into law were full of pork, but he had no choice because so many things, important things, were in these bills. It was imperative that the bills pass, even though they also contained pork. The truth is, however, as Congressman Ron Paul recently pointed out, is that most of the spending bills sent by Congress to the president are mostly pork with a few important things in them. The greatest proof that President Bush does not have a fiscally conservative bone in his body and that giving him a line item veto would not rein in government spending one iota is not what Bush does with Congress, with what Congress sends him, but what Bush himself sends to the Congress. And they go on and look at the budget that Bush has sent, and you can see it's just rampant full of crazy pork-type spending, and we have a big government leader there for the Christian leader of America in George W. Bush. That the fact that conservatives would have crucified Clinton as if it was his trillion-dollar budget and his war shows that they are hypocrites without a shred of integrity, and I couldn't believe it more. It's not conservatives, true conservatives, who are naive or just plain stupid. It's the neocons which are naive or just plain stupid. At any rate, we have many such stories here on Christian Worldview that we'd like to discuss. You don't hear them anywhere else. That's why you need to stay tuned right here to Christian Worldview to get more of the truth, more impact, more bang for your buck, more thinking, more deep-seated conversation than you will anywhere else. You're listening once again to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we'd like to welcome you back to Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network, the greatest network on earth. And we're so glad you've joined us this morning. Also joining us this morning is Brad calling, and we'd like to welcome you to the show, Brad.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, thanks. How about you?
Great. I'd just like to make a quick comment on the Terry Schiavo case. I think the Times Examiner should be applauded for the piece, the article that they did on it in their paper this past week.
Yes, on the culture of death. You know, excellent work.
One other thing that should be pointed out is death by starvation is a war crime under the Geneva Convention. So, technically, the state of Florida and our federal government as well is, they're responsible for this. And I think it's just a great atrocity. And this ranks in my book up there with the tragedies at Waco and Ruby Ridge. This is just an atrocity. This is a trespass against humanity, and I think Christians need to take a bigger stand on issues like this. We really need to wake up.
Yes, they did. The hard thing that for us to understand is not that so many Christians turned out in support, because that was good that so many did, but they still are looking at the state in the wrong way. They're still believing that somehow George W. Bush, that the state run by the federal government of the United States, is somehow some godly institution that's just making silly blunders. It doesn't realize that these sort of atrocities, whether they're Waco or Ruby Ridge or Iraq or any of the other things we could mention, including abortion and these euthanasia-type practices, death by starvation, are the norm for this government. They're not the unusual thing. Our government is an evil, tyrannical, chaotic government, and you're bringing up something very important. I hope Christians will start to get a grasp of things and look at them differently than they have been previously.
Right, yeah, and I'd like to challenge anybody, just go for one day without drinking water and see how your body feels. I mean, I'm sure after a person goes so long without water, their mouth, their eyeballs actually start to bleed. I mean, this is hell on earth torture. This is just horrible. I just can't say enough about it. I mean, we really need to wake up, and this is another reason that people out there listening really need to get behind the Tyranny Response Network to get, you know, to get the truth out, to spread the truth, because the mainstream media obviously is not doing it.
Yeah, have you had any chance to listen to other radio networks and their conversation about Terri Schiavo? They've been considerably more liberal than us.
Yes, absolutely. I think NPR was the first station to break this story. The news media was very, very slow on getting the word out that she died. NPR broke the story and said that, well, Terri Schiavo passed away, but her parents weren't there. Her parents were they were busy discussing her situation with the news media. So they kind of put their liberal slant on it against the parents.
Yeah, isn't that a shame? Well,
it's just horrible. Well, thanks a lot, John. I appreciate your show. I haven't had a chance to listen much lately. I've been out of town, but it's great to be back, and it's great to hear your show on the air.
Thanks for calling, Brad. Good to have you as a listener, and we appreciate your kind comments about the Tyranny Response Network and especially Christian Worldview. Well,
everybody out there, get behind TRN. This is a great network. Thanks, John.
Thanks a lot. And if you'd like to get behind TRN in a special way, you can go to the homepage, policyofliberty.net. Follow the links down below to find out how you can support TRN, even small monthly support, whether it's $5, $20 a month, that you can possibly help out TRN with would be greatly appreciated. Just go ahead and click one of the links on the front page. Remember, we're a listener-supported broadcast, and if you appreciate having the news and information and deep-thinking discussions that we have here on Christian Worldview, we hope you'll consider supporting the Tyranny Response Network and especially this show, Christian Worldview. Well, one of the issues that's come up here a number of times recently and has come up again is Social Security, and I wanted to touch on this just for a moment today. In fact, it's been listed so many different places in things I've been getting recently. The Heritage Foundation, one of our most important think tanks in Washington, has its entire Heritage Forum, which is a subtitle, Conservative Solutions for Advancing Liberty, on the future of Social Security. And there was a blurb sent out by David C. John, one of their analysts there at Heritage Foundation, in addition to that, about Social Security's inevitable future, that it will fail at some point, as all Ponzi schemes do fail. Well, having said that and seeing that it's so big in the news lately, Lindsey Graham, the great conservative, in quotation marks, senator from South Carolina, said this. On his official website, Senator Lindsey Graham proclaims that he never strays from the conservative reform agenda. Well, now he has, in a dramatic way, and in a way that should infuriate every Republican who has ever voted for him. Republicans made a strategic mistake, Graham said, focusing on personal accounts, and Graham incriminates others who have been pushing personal accounts by saying it is personal accounts always been a sideshow, but we sold it as the main event. We're off in a ditch over a sideshow. This is a betrayal of mind-boggling proportions to his party, his president, and the movement he claims to spearhead in the Senate. For 25 years, conservative and free market think tanks and advocacy organizations have been making the case for Social Security reform, saying that it is wrong for government to force workers to contribute to a system of forced retirement savings and then give them a lousy return. We've told them that the Social Security system was in trouble, that that personal retirement accounts were the solution. Skipping through the article, it says, instead of focusing on giving taxpayers a better deal, Graham advocates cutting benefits, raising payroll taxes, and forcing retirees to work longer and pay into a failing system even longer. So-called reformers like Graham have pulled a giant bait and switch. He inherited 25 years of work in support of personal accounts, but is now ditching the accounts in favor of an approach that gives government, not taxpayers, a better deal. And why wouldn't he? Why are Republicans surprised that their fair-haired boys, these Republican so-called conservatives, would do this? I don't know. They've never really done truly conservative things before now. Why would you expect any different out of these people now? Graham and his ilk are leading our current president in the same direction, pressuring him to set aside personal accounts, abandon his no payroll tax increase pledge, and cut benefits to retirees. Maybe the Democrats are paying this guy off a little bit. Who knows? Or he's getting some funding from somebody, maybe AARP. Senator Graham gets no points for imagination or creativity in proposing what Democrats have been proposing for decades. Any rate. Yes, don't be surprised when you see this kind of stuff happen out of the Republican side. Privatization is the only good choice. In fact, the best choice is just eliminating Social Security entirely, but to privatize 100% is the best choice, and he's not even willing to go that far. Instead, he wants to raise our taxes. Surprise, surprise, Republicans raise taxes? They don't do that. They're conservatives, right? Wrong. If you believe that, then you're being foolish. Christians do not need to be so gullible. This is the Christian Worldview Show with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to the last segment today of the Christian Worldview program with Dr. John Coben. Yeah, we want to talk a little bit more about some economic thinking. A lot of you really appreciate and enjoy that discussion. And sometimes, you know, being that I think like an economist, after having been trained by the great men like Professor Walter Williams and others, I'll be driving with my own children in around town here, and some economic theory issue will come up, and I'll, you know, have an opportunity to share with them a few ideas. And one of them has to do with how bungled policies and mythological ideas about environmental terror that have brought on things like the need to ration or you know, goods or recycle things, or that we have a shortage of gasoline and natural resources, that we're going to run out of oil. These are all myths, by the way. It's not true. They're all false. They're all lies engendered by the left. But at any rate, people in government who believe these myths then begin to force upon Americans certain actions that need to be taken, such as getting higher miles per gallon in cars. And I asked the kids, what do you suppose is the direct consequence of having higher miles per gallons in car, other than not having to spend quite as much money on gasoline per month? And after a little bit of thinking, they came up with, well, cars will have to be made lighter. That's right. They have to be made lighter. And they could be made lighter by making the metal thinner or using less metal in the car for certain parts. And technology is wonderful for doing this. As you know, a Coke can, for instance, a can of that holds Coca-Cola or Pepsi, now contains 80% or more, or only 20% of the aluminum that it contained 30 years ago. People have invented new ways to continue to thin out metal. Well, the same thing happens in a car. It becomes lighter and lighter, so fuel economy goes up. But what happens during an accident? The car is less safe. So one of the consequences of this following the proactive policy based on these lies of environmentalists is we end up having less safe cars to drive, and we have more traffic fatalities as a result of the foolish policy based on a silly ideology that is unproven, untrue, and simply championed by leftist dolts. If I can be so strong in my language to call them that. Well, here we have in the news a couple of other things about auto safety that came up. Our research staff forwarded to us. Safety group presses for tougher car roofs. And notice I say roofs, not roofs. Being from Southern California, the true South, we say roof instead of roof. Just like we say horses have hoofs and not hoofs, by the way. My wife would also say, but you need to give me some proof, not proof. So I guess you can say it either way. At any rate, Washington, a safety advocacy group citing a report made public in a lawsuit involving Ford Motor Company, contended Wednesday that stronger car roofs and other design improvements could save lives in rollover accidents. Ford said it had not read the study by a professor of biomedical engineering at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, but said strengthening roofs would not further protect people. The government's auto safety agency, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, is expected to issue a new requirements this year about roof strength. Ford took issue with Baidez's work. It appears to be based on the previous material prepared by Martha Baidez, which is seriously flawed, unscientific, and misinterprets the data she's relying on, the company said in a statement. Simply strengthening the roof won't improve the safety of SUVs and other passenger vehicles and rollovers, the company said. Years of testing show strengthening the roof will not affect the outcome of the crash for a simple reason that injury mechanics are not related to how much the roof is deformed in a rollover crash. Nevertheless, the jury decided against Ford in a May 2000 case relating to a May 2001 rollover crash. The Florida jury ruled on March 18th that the Explorer's roof was defective. Ford was ordered to pay Duncan's husband $10.2 million for economic damages, pain, and suffering. Ford has said it plans to appeal the verdict. The problem is that governments do not know how to design cars well. They have no incentive to do that well. And all they do by adding more regulations is to add more cost to the consumer. Yeah, you might have a car that's better quality, maybe. You might have one that's safer. But the trade-off is that consumers now pay thousands and thousands more for a car than they would otherwise. So it's very debatable whether or not it's a good thing that government regulation occurs over automobiles. Certainly Ford hates getting stung with these huge verdicts, but they have to build into the price of their cars. They know one out of every 10,000 cars they produce will produce a lawsuit, and they're going to have to recover a certain amount of money on average from these from being sued. It's a sad thing that this goes on. It's not wrong that we have tort laws and for true neglect and liability. The problem is when government gets its hand in for heavy regulation to try to control the auto environment. It's an economic concern that simply is based on the idea that government knows better than the market, and this is certainly dubious at best. In other news, we have some medical testing, medical regulation going on. San Francisco, in the 2 weeks since Genentech's expensive new drug Avastin was found to help the sickest lung cancer patients live a few months longer than expected, investors have promptly pumped nearly $17 billion into the company. But what's good for for patients in the company and its investors is also heavily stressing the ailing U.S. healthcare system, raising uncomfortable questions about the end-of-life care. Dio says the drugs contribute mightily to the malaise of healthcare. It's why health insurance costs are rising. Dozens of such biotechnology-created cancer drugs are in advanced stages of development, and Avastin, priced at $4,400 a month to treat colon cancer, is not nearly the most expensive. Well, these are very interesting things to talk about. How should we, as Christians, look upon these kinds of drugs? My guess is they are good things. Not because they're patent-protected and monopoly profits and they drive up health care costs, but because we always like to see improvements to the human condition that man can do under God and their ability to create after God in Genesis chapter 1 sense, or Genesis chapter 2 sense. Anyway, thanks again for listening to Christian Worldview today. We've run out of time, so I can't continue on talking about this today, but we'll try to pick it up tomorrow if we have time, or it's not tomorrow, Monday. We'll see you for another edition of Christian Worldview on Monday morning, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir.